Colossians 1, 24 and 29. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. In short, Paul testifies that his calling is one of proclaiming Jesus. He does that by working tirelessly to strengthen the new, young, established churches and continue from there establishing new ones well beyond the borders of Israel. And so on this mission, he testifies how he is called to share in the afflictions that were intended for Christ for the sake of the body, which is the church. And he is called to share a mystery revealed, which we'll talk about. And he is called to proclaim Jesus to everyone, sharing in Christ's afflictions. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. I saw Virginia in here today, married to Pastor Dave years ago. And Dave was my mentor, and he taught me much. And so back in the day when someone came into the church office, it didn't always necessarily mean, woo-hoo, let's have coffee and fellowship. Sometimes it meant, we've got some things that we need to iron out. And so whoever this person was, they came into the office, and I kind of went, oh, this is going to be interesting. And my office, of course, shared the wall with Dave's office. And so I wasn't trying to listen because it was none of my business, but in fairness, Dave was my mentor, and so it was good for me to learn from my mentor. And so I couldn't hear what was all going on, but there was a sense that this person had a long list of all of the grievances and the sorrows that had come upon him or her in context to this church. And so then they stopped, and it was time for Pastor Dave to respond. And I didn't need to lean up to the wall. Dave, a quiet and a meek and a gentle man, said in a loud voice, "Is that all you got? Do you want to see my list?" It was really impactful for me because I went, I'm a leader in the church, and I'm going to see more than anybody else is going to see because I see it in the mirror when I leave for work, and then I lead it all through the week and then deal with it all through the week. How am I going to be protected from becoming disenfranchised with this, that which God has called me to? And there, David Fairbrother, my list is this big, but my love for my people that much bigger. How is it that those who are most aware of the deficiencies and that those who have often given more and suffered more than any are the ones who love the church the most, who are the most committed? Paul, a great example. Nobody gave more to the church than Paul, and here he stands and speaks of her beauty and her wonder. And he reaches towards the mandate of serving her. Our regional pastors meet often at the camp. These are the most authentic men I know, and I love it when they come, and it's a privilege to be able to serve them. And I will tell you, in behind the scenes, that they boast about their churches with all humility. It has nothing to do with them and their great work. They simply care about you, and they see the potential of what God is doing and the way you are acting as Christ to your neighborhood. And they speak in tones of love and the gratefulness that they've been called to serve you. But many of these guys are my buddies, and I know the rest of the story, which is they have gathered over their lives of ministry many sufferings and many afflictions, which have war-torn at their heart and their soul and even robbed them of years and personal health. And yet they continue on with such a love and admiration for God's plan through the local church. We shouldn't be surprised that this is the way, let alone disenfranchised. And Jesus calls a church leader or anyone to himself, he is asking them to endure the very afflictions of Christ for sake of the body, which is his church. And those who endure are all too happy to do it. Dare I say, even rejoice in it. Consider Stephen, the time of the church. who preached his final sermon to the religious leaders. In Acts 7, he retells the entire story of Israel, how God revealed both his plan and his glory through Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David and Solomon, how the Jews were to be God's chosen people, and how he poured blessing on them, and they were obstinate and rebellious. But Stephen charges them, the religious establishment who's at him in this moment, as being haters of both God and everyone God sent to lead his people back to himself. In 751, you can feel the climate rising as Stephen kind of brings this charge to those who are about to take his life. And he says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. And Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he began to proclaim Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And that was just too much. And they cried out and they clasped their ears and they rushed after him, carrying him out of the city and killed him with stones. The passage goes on to tell us that Paul was there. And yet God chooses Paul, this Paul, to become his missionary. He chooses him and trusts him to share in the work of making his word fully known. And by doing so, he calls him to share in his own sufferings, even the very kind that Paul inflicted on others. Paul's response is to rejoice in them, that in his flesh he will take on every affliction intended for Jesus for the sake of his body. That is the church, not begrudgingly, but joyfully. He says, I rejoice. Folks, Paul's words are not just his testimony for a different day and a different time, but a warning and an invitation for as many who confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, from the grave. That they become God's special own in a way never fully realized by Israel, saved from the bondage of sin and reconciled to Jesus. Paul begins to understand all of the analogy of what the church means, that we become as adopted as sons and daughters, likened to branches grafted into the true vine, purposed to bear the very fruit of God's Spirit, likened to a spotless bride dressed in the beauty of God's own righteousness, purposed to be exclusively devoted for him. A covenant community that all of the Old Testament pointed to, often described in Old Testament terms where there is both continuity and discontinuity between the promises made about Israel and the promises made about the church. On one hand, there's a single covenant of God who has roots in Abrahamic covenant in Israel, while on the other hand, the church is a new covenant community of Jesus whose beginnings are marked at Pentecost and everything is made new. A kingdom people that Jesus spoke of and cast vision for throughout his life and ministry. Both an individual and a collective people purposed to become the very temple of God. But folks, you need to know, when God seals you by his Spirit, he frees you from the bondage of sin, but not the fury of it. The world despised Jesus. And the fury of the cross was not enough to quench their hatred. And so it remains for as many who bear his name. That's what Paul's talking about, lacking, filling up what was lacking in the Christ's afflictions for the sake of the church. The world just didn't have enough. And so they will continue on to this very day, pouring their afflictions on anything that stands near to who Christ is and that truth. Sharing the mystery of Christ in you. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul's previous life was entirely driven by a misguided zeal. The first half, his pursuit for a relationship with God, the God of Abraham through the law. His second half, his pursuit for a new, very personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ by grace. Misguided as it was, Paul believed that Israel was purposed to be exclusively God's own. The Jews were to be a people entirely set apart from all the other nations, and so every moment of their lives must also be set apart. But that entire framework of understanding and practice, the entire religious establishment got it all wrong, and they were ultimately, as Stephen said, hostile to God. Everything changes in the person of Jesus. In the moment God opened Paul's eyes, he allowed that his spirit would go into him and gave new understanding and new belief and an entirely new life and an entirely new practice of life and an entirely new message. And this is what Paul testifies to us today. The Spirit of God revealed something that had been hidden until the appointed time that Paul calls this revelation, a mystery revealed, a mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you. This is the crux of our church, the beginnings of God's power working through us and moving for revival in our land. Folks, from the beginning of time, God planned this. This new dispensation of how loving, just God would save his people and have fellowship them. God purposed this moment in Adam and Eve, and the entire narrative of time pointed to the moment whereby God would reveal his ultimate plan for all humanity. Jesus comes to fulfill all of history, performing something long foretold, but so much more than anyone could have imagined, let alone understand. Something so powerful, but yet so personal, that the very Spirit of God would choose to take up residence in the likes of you and me. The woman at the well, the leper, the outcast, the one who hated, the one who persecuted, the criminal, the Gentile, which represents probably all of us in this room here today. And to Paul's bewilderment, God's love had to be for everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, and not by works, but completely and entirely by grace and grace alone. His gift for which he paid the price in full by giving his own life as a ransom for many on the cross. Oh, that he would purify this vessel by the power of his son, Jesus, and move into our very being by his spirit and commune with us here in this fallen world. It's as fresh today as it was for Paul in his time, and you can appreciate the testimony of how he speaks to the church. He makes us his chosen instruments to proclaim this mystery revealed in Jesus, this mystery of the gospel. And Paul can now say with absolute humility, look at me. What you're seeing is not Paul, the person, the flesh, but the evidence of one indwelled by the very Spirit of God, the Christ in me, the hope of glory. And as much as it's for me, it's for you, and it's for everyone, everyone, everyone. That is where this power to rejoice even in suffering comes from. That is where my authority comes from. That is where my understanding comes from. That is where my mission comes from. Everything from God's Spirit who has moved into my being. My oldest son took a youth pastor job in Quesnel here just not very long ago. And my young daughter-in-law, who I'm getting to know, and she's wonderful, had a little bit of a conversation with me about God's given him a mission. And he's called him, but what about me, Dad? And I'm like, you go up there in obedience and God has something for you and he will give you a mission. He will assign you your marching orders. It'll make sense for you. And I'm praying for her and I phone her one day and I'm like, hey, Amberly. She's like, what's up? I'm like, oh, I just want to chat, but I want to chat about this. And she begins to tell me how God gave her a job in a coffee shop and how God began to open her eyes to see all of the people of the community that would come to the coffee shop. And she's going on about her hope for that town, that many would know Christ. And she has this sense in her heart that God is asking her to be a voice spokesperson for that gospel for these people. And she's excited and she's emotional. I'm like, Amberly, I love you. You're an extraordinary young gal, but you're not so much in yourself that you came to this on your own. This is God's Spirit in you, nudging that you would see with his eyes and calling you into his own vision. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Spirit alive in work in my daughter. So in conclusion, sharing in his work, Paul declares the mission of the church and his own resolve to achieve it. In verse 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This precious passage that I've read 100 times over, that was made new and fresh for me as I began to serve our churches through the ministry of Sunny Bay Bible Camp. The work of the Spirit is very simply one of proclaiming Jesus. It's a labor of love that comes from the Spirit within us, who cares so deeply about lost souls that he asks his servants to make every effort to warn everyone and teach everyone in these times with all wisdom. And sometimes by God's grace and his purpose and his sovereign plan and his election, somebody responds to that saving grace and they begin to grow up in the knowledge of who he is and mature in him. They take on the very Spirit of God and become transformed beings as God multiplies his grace through us into another. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor here, there's a young girl called Megan. And when I started working at Sunny Bay Bible Camp, I was distributing flyers. I mean, it's all about proclaiming Jesus, but sometimes you got to put a flyer somewhere too that says Sunny Bay Bible Camp. And I went into the Alliance Church in Kamloops, and I was looking for someone to take these flyers and have a bit of a word with me. And this girl from the youth group here years ago, Megan, says, Jim, what are you doing here? I'm like, Megan, what are you doing here? She was from a non-believing home at the time. And I remember the day specifically at Sunny Bay when we were in the gym at a May camp and there was an altar call and I went down with a number of my youth. I had my arm around her and she gave her life to Christ. And in a moment, the Lord came into her and changed everything. But it wasn't long until I left and I wasn't there for the next chapter. And all of these years later, I move in and she's like, I'm the children's worker. I get to teach children about Jesus. She gives me a great big hug and she's full of joy and full of the Spirit. Oh, the things that a guy can endure, the work that a guy can put up with, the pushback, the sufferings, the trials, all of it became small in the light of that beautiful moment and so many others like it. So I understand Paul when he says, as for me, I'll work and toil to this end, not just with my strength, but struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For Paul, that meant a lot of things. Some of them we don't know, working through singleness and some sort of sickness that plagued him and endless troubles and beatings and persecutions and imprisonments and church politics and squabbles and this and that and every other thing. And Paul literally depleted his life for the sake of the gospel in the context of the church. For Sunny Bay, it means serving meals, endless cleaning, fixing things over and over and over again. It means brutal scrutiny and angry mums. Not that dads don't get angry too, but mums are better at it. It means a copious amount of risk. I just bite my nails in prayer the whole summer long. Lord, protect all of them because there's so much at play here. Means standing right in the front lines of the enemy's attack. It means social media scandal and newspaper articles. It means hatred from this world. It means so much, but it all is little in the scheme of tempered against the joy of what it means to serve. And so for Emmanuel, what does it mean to fill up in the afflictions designed for Christ, purposed for Christ? What does it mean to work and toil, to struggle to this end? This morning, I used the analogy of Bethlehem Star, and I say with the most respect and adoration, who in all of the world takes on such a project in such a busy season, but for their hope that Christ would come into the soul of another? Who would do all of those things but for the opportunity to testify and shout from the mountaintops to proclaim Jesus, this is what he's done in my life, and this is what he has in mind than to do in your life? Struggling for you means going to Falkland, which I absolutely love and respect so much because I love Don and the leadership in this church, but it wasn't them who came up with that idea. It was the very Spirit of God saying, my servants, it's time to obey and reach beyond this border and to go somewhere small that needs to hear this message of Jesus. They need someone to go out and proclaim to them. Ministry for everyone demands way more than the sum of our churches and the sum of our partnerships could ever give. Ministry for everyone can only be achieved by us faithfully and obediently saying yes to the Spirit of God who lives inside us, the hope of glory.